From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 29th, 2012. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica today in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
And this is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Today we look at a very serious matter for geospatial technologists, our aging Earth observation satellites. A recent National Research Council report indicates the U.S. system of environmental satellites is at risk of collapse. We'll discuss some of the observations from this report and more, but first a word from our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph. Is your GIS at a gridlock, limited to a few, contained and locked away? GeoMedia Smart Client engages individuals and departments to collectively ignite your dynamic GIS. Geographic changes are interactively implemented across an enterprise-wide smart GIS, seamlessly integrating into configurable workflows. Users leverage advanced geospatial functionality via simple-to-use map-based tools, streamlining their processes to build a smart GIS. Discover the power of geography and build a smarter organization with GeoMedia Smart Client. Learn more at intergraph.com/geospatial. In 2007, a National Research Council report entitled Earth Science and Applications from Space, National Imperatives for the Next Decade and Beyond, often referred to as the 2007 Decadal Survey, called for a renewal of the national commitment to a program of Earth observations. Just recently, and I believe it was the last month, there was another report entitled Earth Science and Applications from Space, a Midterm Assessment of NASA's Implementation of the Decadal Survey, authored by the National Academies. That includes people who authored the report, mostly from the National Research Council and the National Academies Sciences Division on Engineering and Physical Sciences. This midterm report is what we're going to focus our topic on today, and I want to read briefly from some of the results and summary of that, and I quote, "Thus, despite recent and notable successes, the nation's Earth-observing capability from space is beginning to wane as older missions fail and are not replaced with sufficient cadence to prevent an overall net decline. The committee found that the number of NASA and NOAA Earth-observing instruments in space is likely to decline to as little as 25% of the current number by 2020. This precipitous decline in the quantity of Earth science and application observations from space undertaken by the United States reinforces the conclusion in the Decadal Survey and its predecessor, the 2005 Interim Report, which declared that the U.S. system of environmental satellites is at risk of collapse. The committee found that a rapid decline in capability is now beginning and that the needs for both investment and careful stewardship of the U.S. Earth observations enterprise are more certain and more urgent now than they were 5 years ago." This is a 122-page report, and what we're going to try to do is encapsulate some of the findings, but that paragraph that I just read was a very serious synopsis of where we sit today in Earth observation satellites. All of these things impact our ability to do basic science and also things like national security. And it's interesting that it comes at a time in which there is discussion about the funding for the commercial space satellite system, those of GOI and Digital Globe, and the funding that originates from the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. So, given these two situations, we now find ourselves at crossroads, I think, of priorities between what we do in basic science and Earth observation, environmental science, weather satellite systems, those provided by NASA, NOAA, and the U.S. Geological Survey, and those in the commercial space sector, as I said, Digital Globe and GOI, which to me have somewhat of a challenge in establishing priorities in our Earth observation systems. One, on the hand, is more government-oriented, at least in their funding, but has national significance. One, more on the geospatial intelligence side. So we find ourselves, I think, at some crossroads given the current budget priorities. And I want to stop there, Dean, and get your thoughts on where we sit here with Earth observation, because this is a very significant report, and I think it's important for our listeners to understand that we are at a risk point with our Earth observation systems.
Yeah, in looking through the report and listening to the summary that you just provided, the one term that comes to mind is infrastructure. These satellites are part of our infrastructure to manage our world. I can see a nice parallel between the NRC report and what is done annually when they report on the infrastructure, the physical infrastructure that we drive on and live with every day, the roads and the bridges, and it's graded by some of these professional organizations with letter grades of A, B, C, D, E. And I suspect if we were to ask the National Research Council to give us a grade on how we're doing currently and in the next 5 years with our satellite infrastructure, if you like, they'd probably give us a C or a D. I mean, they say it's really bad.
Right, they do. And we cited a review of this situation by CNN, in which NASA thinks that this report kind of overblows the severity of the situation. I'm not sure I would expect anything less. NASA's being put on the spot here. And I thought the interesting word here that the NRC report used was the cadence. NASA's in total agreement with the mission and the direction, but the speed at which the satellites are either replaced or the missions are engaged is falling behind. One example would be the Landsat Data Continuity Mission, which had been delayed. Now I believe the launch is set for January, February of 2013. This is obviously a follow-on mission to the current Landsat system. So these things are being challenged. This report is being challenged, but the result is that our ability to replace Earth-observing satellites is really taking a hit. And our ability to do basic science is not going to continue very well.
This is a good opportunity to make a distinction between the infrastructure here on the ground and the infrastructure up in space, in that if the bridge is out for 2 years, the cars find another way to go around the bridge. They go on a different bridge. They take a different route, right? But if one of these Landsat satellites is not replaced, we have a gap in our coverage. And so much of what we're doing now is change detection, comparing what things look like now to what they looked like in the past. We're going to have a hole. And that really disrupts basic science.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point, because we are in competition with foreign countries who are launching their own satellites. And whereas we think that some of these folks who may be our friends might share some of the information, some of those satellites are really concentrated and focused on their own country's ability to do the same thing that we're trying to do. So whether it's the satellite launches from India or Japan or Korea, South Korea, we can't depend on them to replenish our supply of satellite imagery. And I just find the whole discussion so relevant in the current context of the Enhanced View situation. And I just see that if Congress is going to act on a budget this year, or hopefully very soon, that they're going to have to come to some real basic decisions on what are you going to fund, national security or science or imagery and satellites that improve our basic understanding of Earth processes. So it poses a really interesting juxtaposition.
Well, and unfortunately, our government seems to draw very strict lines, and needless to say, there's quite a lot of citizens and elected representatives who feel very strongly that national security always wins. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be quite a while until we have those folks back down. The only way to sort of get back to this basic science idea is to really get a push from the public about its importance. And again, I go back to this idea of infrastructure. I think people somehow assume that this is all taken care of because every day when they go to look at the satellite weather, right, there it is.
Yeah.
Right? And the connection to the fact that those satellites, this comes from, these aren't private satellites, these are the government satellites. This is the National Weather Service doing its job. to make your life better. And when we think of it in terms of weather, but of course we need to expand that to climate. Yes, we all know things are changing, and this is how we detect it.
Let me read two other findings from the report here. And I quote, NOAA's capability to implement the assumed baseline and the recommended program of the 2007 Decadal Survey has been greatly diminished by budget shortfalls and cost overruns. That was one finding. Second finding in the report stipulated, funding for NASA's Earth Science Program has not been restored to the $2 billion per year in fiscal, for the current fiscal year, 2006 dollars, level needed to execute the 2007 Decadal Survey's recommended program. Congress's failure to restore the Earth science budget to a $2 billion level is a principal reason for NASA's inability to realize the mission launch cadence recommended by the survey. We have here a number that the NRC is recommending. They want to go back to the $2 billion level in order to not just catch up, but sustain, so it sounds, to the current 2007 recommendations. The other thing that I found interesting in the report was, I think, something you touched on in terms of the basic science observations. So I'll quote one more thing, and it says, the decrease in capability by 2020 will have far-reaching consequences for the vigor and breadth of the nation's space-observing industrial and academic base, endangering the pipeline of Earth science and aerospace engineering students and the health of the future workforce. I think if there's anything that we're so focused on right now is our economy and our jobs picture. And if it's going to impact the health of our workforce, especially in light, again, I'll go back to the Department of Labor's report that there is going to be a 180,000 job openings in geospatial technology over the next 10 years. This will be threatened if we're not funding the basic research and certainly the basic data that comes from the Earth observing satellites.
So it really comes full circle. We need to have citizens who are supporting the need for basic science through satellites such that their children can go to public schools, learn about science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, and then go out and get jobs in that field.
Right, right.
And I think one of the big challenges here is to make that connection between these satellites in space and the good fortune we have here on Earth. I mean, people don't realize that, yes, we need the satellites to look at the land, to look at the water, to make sure that there's enough of both to grow the crops, to grow the food that we eat. I mean, there's a direct connection between those satellites and all of our qualities of life. And it's unfortunate that I don't think people realize that.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. This podcast was brought to you by Intergraph. Complete your existing desktop GIS by engaging a larger audience with your geospatial assets. With GeoMedia Smart Client, individuals across your organization can easily create data, maps, and reports. Finally, even novice GIS users can leverage advanced GIS functionality in a smart way. To learn more, visit intergraph.com/geospatial. And I want to remind everybody from us here at Directions that both Adina and I will be on the road the next couple of weeks. I'm obviously in Brazil this week. Adina will be in Nova Scotia soon. I will be in Las Vegas and in New Orleans covering many of the major geospatial technology conferences. We hope you'll tune in to our reports from those events. And also from us here at Directions, we'd like to thank everybody who supported our Location Intelligence Conference and the Oracle Spatial Users Conference. We had a great event last week. We hope you'll join us next year as well. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Post a comment where this podcast is posted. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.